Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Inner West Local Planning Panel meeting. The procedure is that the panel will move through the agenda, but bringing item four forward first. First of all, I must acknowledge the Gadigal and Wongal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we are meeting today, and their elders past and present. The individual panel members are all experts in their own right in various ways, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves and to explain their expertise in a moment. My name is Angus Talbot. I was a judge of the Land and Environment Court for 15 years and, of course, practised in that area as a barrister and a solicitor. I call for declarations of interest. I have no declaration of interest to make, and each individual will make a declaration of interest when they introduce themselves. And I'll ask Mr. Hawkes to introduce himself first. Thank you.
Thank you. My name's Ken Hawke. I've lived in the Inner West area for nearly 40 years and been involved in local government planning for a similar amount of time. I'm the community representative on the panel. With regards to declarations of interest, I do have a declaration of interest in that item 10. I am a friend of one of the objectors to that application, and as such I have had no part in the deliberation on that item, and I will leave the room when it's being discussed.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Don't need this.
I cut you off, did I?
My name's David Johnson. I'm an environmental scientist, and I have spent most of my life as an environmental consultant in the Sydney area. I've also been an acting commissioner in the Land and Environment Court, and for the last 6 years, a member of the Planning Assessment Commission, now the Independent Planning Commission in New South Wales. I'm also a part-time university lecturer in environmental science, and I am a member of two other local planning panels.
Ms. Morrell.
Good afternoon. Jan Morrell. I've been a planner for over 40 years, and I only sit on independent panels in the Sydney region, about eight of them now, and chair some of them as well. Prior to retiring some 7 years ago, I was a commissioner with the Land and Environment Court for 14 years, and prior to that, the corporate manager of planning and development at Liverpool City Council. Thank you.
Hardly.
I have no conflict of interest.
Hardly sounds like retirement, does it? Each item will be called, and the various people who are registered to speak will be invited to come forward. A maximum of three for each particular development in regard to submissions by way of objection will be allowed, and I'll deal with any problems in that respect as they arise. As I said, the items will be dealt with in accordance as they're published numerically in the agenda, except for item number four, which I'm bringing forward at a special request which I've granted. Accordingly, the first item that we deal with on the agenda relates to 4 Charles Street, Enmore, and I ask Jessica Matson to speak.
Okay.
Yes, you go to the microphone. Press the button. It doesn't seem as though it's quite your height. You can sit down.
Thank you.
And there's a button there which will activate a red light.
It is red. I think
yes,
we're in business.
So you've got your 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name's Jessica Matson, and I'm the architect for the proposal at number 4 Charles Street. And more just a very quick bit of background. I understand you've visited the site today, so you have some understanding of the context. I was asked by the owners of the property to assist with the design of an upper level addition to accommodate their growing family. My clients have 2 small children, and they also have family visiting from overseas often. The aim of the proposal was to essentially replicate what's already been built at number 4 Charles Street, directly adjacent. and to continue that existing pattern. As you're already aware, the property does not lie in a heritage conservation area, and it's not a heritage item. However, as a part of this wonderful grand row of terraces, it was obviously really important to get the design right and make sure that it doesn't detract from the heritage character of the item. It's a very interesting property in that the grand facade with the parapet and balconies and verandas face what appears to be the rear of the site, the Charles Street frontage, which appears to be more of a rear laneway character. So their proposal is not strongly visible from the Charles Street frontage, very difficult to see. It is, however, visible from the Belmore Street frontage. So the aim really was to tie in with the existing addition at number 2 Belmore Street, and we have already had some negotiations with the assessing planner and the heritage planner in making adjustments to the fenestration to ensure that it is continuing and is in keeping with both the existing terraces and the existing addition to number 2. It's my understanding there haven't been any submissions in relation to this DA. Thank you.
Thank you. The panel, thank you for your assistance, Ms. Mattson, and the panel is quite impressed by how you've dealt with the site, and even though the height standard is exceeded by considerable degree, it is of course compatible with the place next door, as you indicated, and it's compatible with the general streetscape in the area, and we consider that the proposal is a good one and sympathetic to surrounding properties. Accordingly, the panel has decided unanimously to adopt the conclusion in the council officer's report and the recommendation and the conditions as they appear in attachment A to the report, so that the application is approved in that context. Thank you. So we move back now into the item agenda number 1. No one's registered to appear in relation to the proposal to remove a camphor laurel tree at 109 Milton Street, Ashfield. Panel has observed the amount of damage that's been caused by this tree and consider that it's inappropriate to be maintained. It will be replaced by a suitable tree in accordance with conditions of the consent which the panel proposes to give in accordance with the conclusions and recommendations in the report provided by the officers and the tree experts' report. Item number 2 again is a tree removal of a Wallangarra white gum at 85 Louisa Road, Birchgrove. The panel has been instructed by the report by an arborist, is satisfied that the recommendation for the removal of this tree is well founded, and that it be replaced by a suitable tree in accordance with the terms of the conditions that are in attachment A to the report, and the panel unanimously adopts the conclusion and recommendation contained in the report. We move now on to item number 3, which relates to the property. What's the address? Catherine Street, Leichhardt. There's one person listed to speak in respect of that property, and that's Kevin Beltram. Mr. Beltram. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Talbot.
We visited your site today. I'm just making that as a matter of record. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't intend to make any more further submission than to what's on my A4 page that I've submitted. I expect you don't want me to read that out. You all have that.
We have a copy of it right here.
Thank you.
Excepting for the benefit of the applicant. Is the applicant to here?
Yeah.
Yes, you need to say what's in your written submission unless you've given him a copy of it. But you need to just paraphrase.
No, okay. My primary concern is the protection of my southern wall and the ongoing maintenance of that wall with regard to, and I'll be very quickly through this, but I will give you a copy, maintenance of the rising damp, I have underfloor venting, which it looks like you're going to block. I don't want you to attach anything to my southern wall because my southern wall's been there for 159 years, and I know in maintaining it, it's very, very fragile and subject to damage very easily. If you don't touch my southern wall but build very close to it, I'll suffer problems with moisture and vermin. From time to time, I have to arrange water resealing for penetrating damp on that wall, so I need access. I don't know how I'm going to get access if your development is in my way. I mentioned my rising damp. I'm concerned about insulation from your development into my property. I allowed the previous owners of 24 Catherine Street to install a gate bolted to my wall, and I can hear that bolt, that gate closing when it is closed. And lastly, on that wall, if the development causes any damage to my southern wall, will it be made good, and how will I know? And I can give you a copy of this now. Thank you.
The panel has given some consideration to these matters. Well, I suppose we could. He's not registered to speak.
But he doesn't know about this.
Doesn't he? Mm. Why doesn't he? Do you want to say anything in reply to that, applicant?
That's it, if I may.
Well, Ms. Morell would like to hear from you.
Well, you just should be given the opportunity to respond to if you haven't seen the document before. Or have you got knowledge, or have you in fact had the opportunity to speak with the owner of number 26?
No, I haven't.
Then in that case, I'll give you leave to appear.
Say that again?
And address what Mr. Beltran
said. Okay, yeah. So when it comes to, there will be standard conditions applied to the consent, which will make sure that the adjoining building is, during construction, is protected. So there will be a condition of consent likely to be in the form of a dilapidation report, which will identify any existing cracks in the building. That will be well documented by an engineer. A copy will be given to the surrounding owners of each property. That will, I suppose, set a benchmark after construction, and if there is any damage, obviously the builder would be liable for any damage, but the dilapidation report basically provides some sort of documentation that identifies any existing issues and any further issues that may arise as a result of the construction works, then obviously there will be a liability by the builder to rectify.
Can I just interrupt you if you haven't finished?
Yep.
I don't think we asked you to announce your name, and it seems that the applicant and the owner are a company, Traders in Purple 113 Proprietary Limited. Could you just announce your name for the record?
Yeah, my name is Simon Georges. I'm the designer acting on behalf of the applicant, Traders in Purple, Pty Limited.
You're the architect, are you?
Yeah, designer, building
designer. Righto, thank you.
Just looking for the condition which speaks about the dilapidation, the need for a dilapidation.
Yeah, it does. It's standard.
Yes, I have to use it.
You've seen the condition in relation to dilapidation, have you? You've read that?
I did read it about a week ago when it first came out.
You raised no objection to it when you read it?
No, that's standard condition that we would expect. We would provide one anyway, regardless, just to protect the builder's interest, because I see it too often where if it's not a condition of consent, we encourage the builders to do that just to protect themselves, to make sure that any further damage, at least we can have some sort of proof that the damage was already there, or to what level or to what extent the damage was.
Okay, I'm just trying to find the number, perhaps the number 16, is it? Thank you. Dilapidation report. And you have no objection of giving a copy of this to the owner at number 26?
No, but we would seek his permission to enter the property, so that would be
to undertake
the works. Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Which is standard procedure.
He said to undertake the works.
The inspection.
Yes.
Yes, sorry. Did I say works?
No, he did.
All right. Okay. So I'm just looking at the dilapidation condition at this moment. And we will add in then, with no objection, that a report provided to council, the PCA and the owners of the affected properties. It's already in there.
Oh, it is, great.
Yes, prior to any works commencing. And there is generally agreement has to be sought from the adjoining owners to undertake that survey of the dilapidation, and that is to allow a pre and post inspection of the property in terms of damage.
All before the construction certificate.
Yes.
You're adding the words in the second line, after authority, the council. 16.
No, it says it already.
A report survey following must be provided to the principal prior.
All right, and then it talks about here is to be prepared and provided to council.
Right. Well, you want to add the owners of the affected properties.
Yeah.
You wanted to also add the council.
Yes, well, that should. We're just looking at the wording of number 16, which in fact in the first sentence, rather than just referring it to the
certifier.
PCA, that in fact it should there include the council and adjoining owners, because that same sentence appears later in the report in any event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's in the second line of condition 16. After the word authority, the panel proposes to consider adding the words the council and the owner of affected properties. And in the third paragraph, which starts that a dilapidation report is to be prepared, in the second last line after principal certifying authority, add the words the council.
It says council's there before it.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is, yes. So it doesn't have to be added there. All we're doing is making the first paragraph consistent with the third paragraph.
Thank you.
All right.
Yep.
Well, thank you for that, Mr. Georges. I'll ask Ms. Morell to indicate what the panel has considered and the result of the application. Thank you.
Yes, we did inspect the site today, and we did understand that Mr. Beltram had objections, and he has tabled those today, and the applicant has now had the opportunity to respond to those. And it is by way of the legislation and the planning controls, zero lot boundaries are permissible, and to build onto the boundary is quite acceptable. The important thing is to ensure
legally
that during the construction there is no damage to the building, and it would have to be fully within the boundary of the subject property that the application is being sought. And in that regard, as we can see along the street, a group of terraces, or a row in fact, are adjoined with zero lot boundaries, and that would have to have regard to the integrity of those walls in terms of developing solely on the actual inside the site itself. So we have had regard to that, but we as a panel do not consider there is any reason why there should be a setback off that boundary. It is consistent in the streetscape to have zero lot boundaries, and in fact reflects the heritage of the area as such. The panel, as I said, is aware that it requires a 4.6 variation because of the minimum lot size. The panel considers that the 4.6 written request satisfies the requirements necessary and also satisfies the zone objectives and the objectives of the standard. In this regard, the panel notes that the subdivision size of lots in the street is one that is reflective of what is proposed in this development application. As such, the panel agrees with the assessment report and the recommendations and conditions as amended by the panel, by the chair just now, in terms of this application. So the formal decision determination of the panel is that supports the findings contained in the assessment report, resolves the application be approved as per the recommendation contained in that report, subject to the following change, as we've just indicated previously, and those reasons for approval are as in the report. And as I said, this clause 4.6 is considered to be justified.
Thank you, Ms. Morrell. Moving on to item... Sorry.
That is unanimous.
Yes, it is unanimous. Yes, yes. Yep. Item number 5, relating to 396 Annandale Street, Annandale. The first listing is a double header, Peter and Patricia Burge Lopez. One or other of those... You've been deserted, have you, Mr. Burge Lopez? Yeah. You're there? Righto. Good. I'm not asking you to... if you like to sit where you are, that's perfectly all right. You're going to speak for both people, Mr. Burge Lopez. Yes, thank
Patricia
you.
Patricia won't be addressing
me. We visited your site today.
I'll try and keep this within the... I'm pretty sure I'll keep this within the 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you don't, I will. We'll start it now.
Yep, there's only two. Well, I'll start. I've lived in Annandale in the same house for 45 years and raised our children, and all there. It's beside the point. I like where I live, and I don't intend to move. The two things I want to talk about is the loss of privacy, and by the rear window on the attic. I see where, because of the situation around have been below, well below their level, from their window, it's like looking down on our backyard and in our main living area, which I like to think by looking out their window, it's like having a drone flying above the backyard, but no noise. We just don't know when anybody's looking out the window. And also lives in our main living area, which is, anyway, that's the privacy. It says there's a screen up. The screen runs north-south, and they say there's 26 degrees from either side. That's a view. That 26 degrees would include all our living area and our backyard, and the screen gives zero privacy to us. I wouldn't mind. The screen would be better if it was running east to west as well. Because on the northern side.
Yeah, we understand. So you explained it in the backyard. Yeah. I think we've got it.
And the other thing I wish to object to is the large bulk within the precinct, because it's an elevated position at the end of the Annandale Street, and there's no building around in that same height and compatible, and that takes. That takes away our aspect from our main living area, which I remember in another. The extension has been extended, even though I objected on this grounds before. The fact that it's been extended, I feel I can object to it again. The upper room, the upper floor. Yeah. That's where I have our main meals and our breakfast, and I have a genuine aspect, and I can see what the weather is coming from that direction anyway each day, and I think. even though 26 degrees on, it was mentioned that there, I too lose an aspect by so many degrees, radians, whatever you like, that's been cut off by this extension. And there's one brief thing I'd like to mention, which I mentioned this morning, which is not part of my objection, is this is this building has extended the first floor, and that's intruded onto the visual aspect from Pritchard Street, which is still part at that place is still part of the Annandale Street precinct. And we talked about it this morning. They said that I'm sure it was considered. I went back through the notes on page 774. The Heritage Officer only considered five items, and none of them were the visual aspects from Pritchard Street, which opens up the blue sky down to a very public place, which is the public letterbox. And that little area there is a confluence of a lot of dog walkers, commuters from the light rail, and letter posters, and meet and greet and talk, and well, maybe not talk or greet, but a lot of people do congregate there over the day.
All right. And that's, now, I'll just ask you to bring it all together, Mr. Birch Lopez.
That's it.
Because good timing.
Yeah, if you want me to explain something, that's off.
Well, I'll say if anybody has anybody got any questions for Mr. Birch Lopez? Okay. Thank you for your assistance. The Sarah and William Ford. We have Sarah.
Just me, thank you.
All right.
Thank you for attending this morning.
You're the architect.
No, I'm the owner who lives next door. We met this morning.
Oh, we did. Oh, yes, I remember.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Struggled up my stairs.
Yes, no.
So we live at 398, and I'm mainly here to point out that we support strongly Council's recommendation not to allow the translucent glass bricks in the boundary wall. So currently we have a fence dividing 396 to 398, but that has been approved to be changed into a wall and become a boundary wall, therefore bringing their property completely onto the boundary, and subsequently now requesting to have glass bricks along the wall, which we do not support, and a number of reasons. Primarily that would provide the right of 396 to build and have light taken over the boundary from our property to provide them with light, and then does prevent us in the future for any further development because a window or a light source would be in place.
I think we understand that.
Great. Secondly, the glass bricks do provide at nighttime light spill. That's our main living area that luminous box would be turned on, and as it is a living area, it would be used quite regularly. And it's very reflective out there already on the wall that we have. So that wall, when the northern sun shines down, as it sets on the west, it shines completely. There's a lot of heat off that wall, which will now be extended, and it's quite reflective. So glass bricks in that position also adds that added reflection into our main play area. Mm-hmm. We just believe that there are other design solutions, that this is actually an inappropriate design solution for the property, and that has been shown by the fact that it did have a setback initially, that section 96 was put in to bring it to the boundary wall, then it had an atrium put in, and another section 96 was requested to take that out with glass windows. So there's continuously been on this property, section 96 is put in to change it, to increase that floor space ratio for the owners, and therefore the design has maybe not considered the impact that it does have on us as a neighbour. That's really my whole objection, but I just would like to note that in the language of this DA from this property, continuously has referred to the impact being non-bulky on my side with this extended wall, which I would consider extremely bulky of 7 metre high wall now being at the back of my house, and that our vacant grass area was of inconsequence, which is actually not a vacant grass area, it's our back garden where my children play and we live. So just to note that there is has in the design potentially limited consideration outside of the boundary of that property.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Ford?
No, thank you.
Do you have any questions?
No.
All right. Well, as it's clear, the panel's been to the site and has had the benefit of further submissions, read the report, and I'll ask Mr. Hawkes to indicate what the reflection of the count of the panel is. Just checking we're still in agreement with what. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Mr. Hawkes will tell you what the outcome is.
Thank you. This is an application to modify a DA consent which has already been given. So for the benefit of the objectors, I would say that there are limits to what this panel can do at this stage. We can only consider those items which have been put in the modification. The floor space ratio is proposed at 1.14, and this is beyond the allowable floor space ratio. But the panel feels that this is reasonable in this case, given there would be no increase in building height and negligible impact to the solar access of adjoining properties. We're mainly talking here about the attic extension. With regards to the translucent glass bricks proposed on the ground floor to service the kitchen, these aren't supported by the council officers, nor are they by the panel. So they will be excluded by way of condition. Council's heritage advisor has raised concerns regarding the proposed ground floor powder room under the stairs, and this is supported by the panel as there is scope to relocate the facility elsewhere in the rear extension. A proposed attic room with ensuite and front and rear dormers has previously been rejected by council. However, the current proposal is much more modest in size, deletes the ensuite, deletes the front dormer, and includes fixed privacy screening. This part of the current application is now supported by the panel, subject to the addition of a very strict condition with regards to privacy, and that is an addition to after the final sentence of condition 2M, that the visual privacy screen must be louvers that cannot be opened more than 45% upwards to prevent downward looking onto the neighbours. And we feel that this will protect you from that attic. In conclusion, the panel adopts the recommendation outlined on page 178 of the agenda and is subject to the conditions listed in attachment A.
Thank you. That's moving on now to item number 6, and that relates to the property at 14 Lackey Street, St. Peter's. And Jason Williams, the architect, are you here to speak? Or just listed in case some information's required? Sorry? Oh, I see. Well, that last vote was unanimous. Thank you. I've just been reminded, maybe it suggested we didn't vote, but I think I asked everybody before Mr. What's-her-name spoke, so... Mr. Williams, do you have anything to say?
Only just in support of Council's recommendation.
Right. And okay.
If you have any questions...
Do you want to talk us out of it or what?
Sorry?
Do you want to talk us out of it?
No. Of course not. But just if you had any questions about anything.
Well, any panel member got a question for the architect, Mr. Williams?
No.
No.
Sorry?
Happy?
Yes. The panel is unanimous in that it agrees that the application is a suitable one for approval. Notwithstanding that there is a significant FSR exceedance of the development standard, having regard to the fact that there is in truth no or in any significant respect any increase in the actual occupation of any floor space that isn't already occupied by the previous warehouse. We consider that the proposed dwelling and ceramic studio a suitable way of dealing with this property and retaining it in terms of its reflection of its past use. And accordingly, the panel unanimously decides that the application be approved in accordance with the conclusion and the recommendation contained in the report, and the in particular, the panel is satisfied that the application made pursuant to clause 4.6 is justified and acceptable, having regard to what's in the request and the consideration by the council officers and the appraisal by the panel itself, and that it's in the public interest in the circumstances that the application be approved. Accordingly, that is the decision of the panel. Moving on now to item number 7, that relates to the property 20 to 22 George Street, Marrickville. No one is listed to present to the panel, and I'll ask Mr. Johnson, provided there's been no submission. So, yes, Mr. Johnson will indicate what the panel has resolved, having regard to the material that's before it. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
This is an application under Section 455 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act to modify an already modified determination dated the 31st of May last year by increasing the size of apartment number 14 on the fourth floor from a two-bedroom to a three-bedroom apartment, enlarging that apartment by 21 square metres. The panel has looked at this closely and looked at the site, in fact, as well today, and accept and agree with the findings of the council officers who have assessed it, that the increase, particularly that the increase in size of the apartment and the modification to that apartment does not propose any additional impact and is within the scope of the previous approval. Consequently, we agree with the conclusion, Council's conclusion, that it would not, the proposed modified development would not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable and the recommendation is adopted by the panel, and that is that we approve the application under Section 455 of the EPNA Act to modify the modified determination of 31st of May 2018 to increase the size of apartment 14 on the fourth floor from a two-bedroom to a three-bedroom, enlarging it by 21 square metres, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A in your on the approval.
Thank you.
And it was a unanimous decision.
Unanimous decision
by the panel.
Thank you. Now that brings us to the point where there can be an intermission. Does the panel wish to go on if the people are here?
If they're here.
Yes. Is Mr. McNamara here or Mr. Owen?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you're the only people listed to speak in relation to item 8. The panel would prefer to get on with the business. There's no objection to that, is there, Mr. Mergus? There's no time, I notice, for the intermission, so...
No, it's just required, really, isn't it?
All right. Well, in that case, I'll call on the persons interested in the development application relating to the property 143 to 149 Norton Street, Leichhardt, and the first person is Daniel McNamara.
Thank you, panel members. We're speaking on behalf of the applicant, so yes. We're not here to talk you out of it. We
no.
prefer you get on with it, and if you have any questions, both myself as planner and the architect are
any
both here to answer
for
any
questions. For the architect or the planner. Mr. Owen's here, is he?
Correct.
Do we need him?
Yes.
Nobody needs to take the matter any further with either the architect or the
no,
planner?
No, I don't think so. Is Ken happy with those
yeah.
issues?
Yes.
Thanks very much.
All right. Well, I'll ask Mr. Hook to... indicate the panel's reflections after visiting the site and reading the material in support of the application.
Thank you. This application is for the demolition of existing structures, the removal of trees, and the construction of a three-storey mixed-use development, including a retail component and 8 residential units. The proposal generally complies with the aims and objectives and design parameters contained in LICART LEP 2013. The proposal has an FSR of 1.05 to 1, well below the 1.5 to 1 floor space ratio applicable. The proposal does not comply, however, with clause 6.13 of the LEP regarding diverse housing, which requires 25% of the number of dwellings should be one bedroom or studios. The proposal is for 8 two-bedroom units. The applicant has lodged a clause 4.6 submission to vary this standard and provided a case which justifies a departure from the diverse housing development standard in this case. The panel is willing to accept that argument. The proposal complies with council's request for parking, and the removal of 2 trees is supported, subject to adequate compensatory replanting. A number of issues regarding stormwater have arisen during assessment of the proposal, and an alternative stormwater design will be required as a deferred commencement condition. In conclusion, the panel unanimously adopts the recommendation outlined on page 378 of the agenda to grant deferred commencement approval to the application.
That, as I said, is a unanimous decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I'll move on to item number 9, and I'll call it 147 New Canterbury Road, Lewisham. Listed to speak is Mr. Gerard Terizzi, but I don't see him here, nor do I see the architect Glenn McCormack. I wonder if a member of the staff could just check that they're not outside in some way or that there hasn't been a message. Call a name or do whatever you do.
They don't do that here.
I mean, called 3 times.
Yes.
There's no guide to the time.
No, it's just a... No, it wasn't. No, it used to be 4 o'clock.
It used to be not before.
That used to be 4 o'clock, and Mr. Terizzi...
People hanging around for ages, yes.
And Mr. Terizzi used to know that, but he's not going to run any great risk. Oh, he's louvers, of course.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah. That's the only
well, issue. Probably won't be here at 4 o'clock anyway.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm not going to miss him.
Now, with the modification nowadays, you can actually approve part of it rather than all of it.
Why couldn't you do that before? That went, oh, yes, that was
yes.
changed.
Mm.
There is, oh, that was changed a long time ago. Paul Steen said you could do it. And there used to be, you couldn't apply conditions to a modification. But Paul paid to that before I left the court, which wasn't yesterday.
Well, this is going back a
you
while.
Must have been away that day.
You were still at school, probably, wasn't it?
I wonder, we seem to have lost Luke now.
He's gone to...
Downstairs.
He's on the street
calling out, ringing a bell. Yeah. Ringing a bell. Hello, hello.
Unless he's making a phone call.
Hmm. I wonder if...
So, we have no objection.
Can I just ask this while we're in this interim period? Is Asha Nair here?
Yes.
Thank you. Is David Marks here? Yes, thank you. Is Kate Higgins here?
No, she advises that she wouldn't be coming.
Not coming. James Russell? He's what?
They're not here.
No.
Should we go to number 10?
We'll go to number... wait a minute, they're not all here for that either. We don't have James Russell. We have Kate Higgins, did I get that right? No, Kate Higgins.
No, we weren't
she's
going
not coming.
Oh, she's not coming, that's right. Thank
she's
you,
provided
yes.
That late submission.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. So it's James Russell. I hesitate to...
Is he the applicant or an objector?
I don't know what. He comes from 59A Reynolds
objector.
Street.
Okay.
Must be an objector. They're all from 59A at Reynolds Street.
He's from 72.
No, 72.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I see. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Is the same address as Kate Higgins?
Yes, but so she's not coming.
She's not here,
so he's probably not.
But maybe he's not coming.
No.
Oh, I see. Yes. All right. Well, in that case, we'll move to item number 10. Stand item number 9 down for the moment, because all of the people listed to speak in relation to item 10 are here, and that application relates to the property number 59 Capital A Reynolds Street, Balmain. The panel has visited the site today, and Mr. Hawkes will now retire, having regard to the fact that he's declared his interest. Do you want to take your papers? Aren't you?
He's coming back.
Oh, you've got to come back. Yes, we've foiled you. Visited the site and visited a number of properties in the vicinity to become orientated to what might be said about the proposal and the effect on those properties. So. I'll call first of all on Asha Nair. Thank you, Ms. Nair.
Thank
you very much. We visited your place today, and thank you for doing that.
And thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
My main concern is the...
Can you press the button on the microphone?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
That's better? Okay.
Yep.
My main concern is the apartment number 7, the third floor, which will block the views of all the dwellings surrounding that block. And it has particular effect on 77 and 79 Smith Street. I'm from 77 Smith Street. It'll cause considerable view blockage, but more important is limitation of solar access. At the moment, I get very good sunlight on the second floor, but on the ground floor, after 9:30, I get sunlight. Now that will be gone, but when this third level comes up and casts a shadow. The second thing is as you have seen, all the dwellings there are either, or all not more than two floors, and they're either houses or terraces or townhouses. There are no apartments in that region. It's sort of quite out of character for the local area. The third is a gross overdevelopment, caused a lot of congestion, and I'm... In the plan, I did not realize that the second floor will have apartments facing Smith Street, that means facing southwest. I thought they were all facing northeast with balconies, but later I realized some of them are facing southwest with balconies. Now, those balconies are right in front of my master bedroom, at eye level. It'll really cause a lot of privacy problems, and also the rooftop garden on top of that apartment, it says not ac- accessible, but in summer, I mean, if they're going to have a garden, you've got to have access to maintain the garden. And that can be a big problem as far as, you know, can be a party venue for all the seven apartment holders. These are the main things. And also, just which I didn't put in my objection, I'll be very quick, is a couple of years ago, I returned home to find my garage, laundry and kitchen were flooded. And that was when we had downpour for a few days at a stretch. And I got the plumber the next day. I thought some drains were blocked. He checked everywhere, no stormwater drain, nothing was blocked. But he said that the drains in that area, because of development, cannot handle such a lot of water drainage, and it causes backflow and flooding. So we have seven apartments and underground car park over there. I don't know what it'll do to the drainage system in that area. Really, that's a big concern. So, and I think these are the main things that I'm concerned about.
Well timed.
Thank you.
Thank you for your assistant, Ms. Neer.
And I agree with everything that the council objected to.
Wow, oh, good. Mr. Marks, David Marks, thank you.
Gentlemen, I have up to 3 minutes, do I?
Yes.
Three minutes, and that's all, Mr. Marks.
Oh, God. Thank you for the opportunity also. As an objector who lives opposite the development.
We visited your site. We are aware of what your concerns are, but let's hear about them.
I've read the council's assessment document. It appears to thoroughly address the issues raised by the development application, but against that background of the material in the council's assessment, I submit that it's fair comment to describe the proposal in this DA as a monster. It's far too big, especially in the context of the existing built environment, and that existing environment, by comparison, is modest in size and scale, and that cannot at all be said about the proposed development application. My specific objections are set out in my letter of objection on the 20th of September 2018.
Yep.
And just very quickly, it's... relates to the points of objection to my letter that I'm particularly concerned about relate to amenity, the impairment of amenity, and the failure of the application to comply with clause 1.2 of the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013, particularly also the aims to promote health and well-being of the residents. It's my submission that the application is a threat to the amenity and health and well-being of the 28 people who have objected and anybody else living close to this proposed development. I think in all the circumstances, I submit in all the circumstances, that the precautionary principle should be applied so as to reject this development application. But just briefly on the points in my letter of the 20th of September last year, one that I'm particularly concerned about is the location and relative position of the balconies and windows in the proposed development. That will permit our property to be overlooked in a most intrusive way, given that our bedroom is upstairs at the front. And in relation to the car park, I submit that this will very likely interfere with the use and enjoyment of our land. This is the proposed subterranean car park. It will constitute a significant nuisance. The noise of exiting vehicles driving up the car park exit tunnel ramp in low gear will be amplified and concentrated and directed across Reynolds Street at our terrace and the other terraces in that row. It will be a significant noise in my submission. The same vehicles exiting up that ramp at night time will have their headlights on, and those headlights will shine into our bedroom.
Need to sum it up, Mr. Marks, if it's not too inconvenient.
I think my submission is that the development application is and abuse and should be rejected, at least on the precautionary principle that it's likely to significantly interfere with people's amenity and their personal health, in fact. Thank you.
Thank you for your assistance, Mr. Marks. Now, I understand that... any questions for Mr. Marks?
Nothing.
No.
Thank you.
I understand Mr. Russell has appeared.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Russell. Are you sufficiently settled to make your submission?
I think so, yes.
You have 3 minutes to do it, so...
Okay. Thank you very much.
We're waiting to hear from you.
Thank you. My name is Jim Russell and I live at 72 Reynolds Street. That's a few doors up and opposite the proposed development. My wife and I did put in a written objection, and I suppose I just want to pick up on a few of those things. The first is, the height, to me, the height and bulk and general appearance of the proposal is just not sympathetic to the buildings in Reynolds Street, the general streetscape. Most of the buildings in Reynolds Street are single or double story cottages and terraces, and they're fairly simple forms. What we have here is something which is totally alien to that. I have to draw your attention to this perspective, which I feel is really does give a false impression of the...
want to talk to it, we would need to be able to see it.
That's okay. I mean, my main point is that it's...
It's not the one from the report?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, it is. Yes. Oh, we've got it. I'm sorry,
okay,
I misunderstood.
Yeah.
I thought
no,
you were presenting
something. Look, I wish
new.
There were more perspectives.
No, have it back, Mr.
Thank you.
Russell.
But my main point is that it's obviously been carefully composed to reduce the apparent scale. In fact, if you look at the top floor, which in fact is really a third floor, but is in the development application is called an attic. Well, to me, it's not an attic, it's just another floor, but that is actually so set back and the viewpoint and general view is such that it can hardly be seen. Also, the length of the development along Rumsey Lane is not apparent either. In fact, the elevations probably give a better, more realistic view. One of the things about Reynolds Street, because it's in part it's sloping, a lot of the buildings do step down the street. This doesn't do that. In fact, the top of that top floor is about 6 metres above the ridge line of the building on the corner. It really is totally out of scale with that building. The other thing about it, in my mind, is the general form of the building is, to me, is it's quite alien. I mean, it's probably generated by the whole idea of keeping the original cottage, which I don't believe is, you know, has any particular heritage value, or at least very small contributory value. The whole scheme has been built around that, and we have these series of gable forms, which I think attempt to look cottagey. But the roof forms themselves are very odd, in that the pitch of the gables varies. The on the top floor, for instance, if you look at the elevations, the pitch of the roof is much flatter, and it's a very odd truncated form. Mm. That form has obviously been generated purely in response to the view lines, and to me that's not how one should go about making architecture. So the roof forms to me are just a bit of a mishmash.
All right.
Did the bell
ring?
Want
to bring it together, Mr. Russell? Bring it all together.
Look, to me, development is about...
You don't like it.
I don't particularly like it. But look, it's I'm pro-development. I I think it's great that the property's been developed, but I believe development is more about, you know, it's a balance between making profit and having good manners in the public realm, and I believe this has probably moved over a bit.
Thank you for your assistance. I'll see if there's any questions. Either of you got a question for Mr. Russell? No, Mr. Russell, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good,
appreciate
thank
it.
You for your assistance. So there's no one else here in relation to this development. The panel has been to the site and the panel has conferred. It's now taken into account the submissions that have been made, and I'll ask Ms. Morrell to indicate what the panel considers to be an appropriate response to the application. Thank you.